We're turning this evening to the book of the Revelation and the chapter number 6. The book of the Revelation and the chapter number 6. And we'll read the chapter together. And so Revelation chapter 6. And let's read the chapter that is before us. The Word of God says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that he should kill, or they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and wine.' And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given on to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and though there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?'" We'll end our reading at the end of the 17th verse of the chapter 6 of the book of the Revelation. And with this solemn reading having now been read, let's please stand for a word of prayer. Our Father, we now come, dear God, to preach thy word, assured that it is God's message for this meeting. And yet, dear God, I pray that thou wilt come now and handle and fill this, the messenger. Give, O God, great help, assistance in the Holy Ghost. Fill me with thy Spirit and with thy power. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take by faith, and I know that he will undertake for me, answer prayer, and help I ask, because I offer petitions and these prayers in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world is an event that ought to fill the hearts of every Christian with great comfort and tremendous joy. I say that because the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world will see to an end of our sinning and an end of all of our sorrows. It will herald our leaving this sin-cursed world, and it will mark the beginning of our time in God's everlasting kingdom. On the day of His appearing, the Son of God will be bathed in radiant splendor, enveloped with an atmosphere of indescribable brilliance, and be surrounded by the ear-piercing sound of the last trump as He comes to gather His loved ones home. Scintillating light will beam from His eyes. Irresistible power will pour forth from His being, and resplendent beauty will radiate from His face. What a day, glorious day that will be for the child of God. However, while the return of Jesus Christ will bring great delight to the heart of the child of God, that same return will strike dread into the heart of the one who is yet in their sin. The unconverted have no interest, they have no desire, they have no longing for Jesus Christ to come back to this earth again. For they know that whenever He reappears and He returns to this earth, it will see to the termination of sin's pleasures for them and their damnation in God's hell. It was John's description of the return of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 6. God drew to my attention as I considered what He would have me to speak upon in this gospel service. While many times I have preached on the love of God, many times I have preached on the mercy of God, many times I have preached on the grace of God, if I am to be a faithful minister of the New Testament, then I am constrained. I am constrained by the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Holy Scripture to alert you, the sinner, about the wrath of God. It is a matter that John brings to our attention too in these closing verses of Revelation and the chapter number 6. Now, from the beginning of the chapter 6, John has been making his way through the opening of the seven seals that locked a book that was written within and on the backside that was being held, as we see in Revelation 5 in the verse 1, was being held in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. The opening of the first four seals, whose details we find in the verses 1 through to 8, see the release of the four horses of the apocalypse. Then we see the fifth seal, the verses 5 to 11, drawing our attention to the souls of those martyrs who reside under the altar. The opening of the sixth seal, the verses 12 through to 17, see to an earthquake shaking the world's foundations, the sun and the moon growing dark in their radiance, and the stars from heaven falling onto the earth. Such traumatic events lead to the consternation of the kings and of the great men of the world. It is the opening of this penultimate seal, the sixth seal of seven, that I want us to consider this evening. I want to focus our attention and our thoughts on a very solemn message: the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. The solemn and the sobering title for the gospel message is "The Wrath of the Lamb Revealed." The wrath of the Lamb revealed. Now, for those whose knowledge of the Word of God is limited, and the preacher must never assume that every listener who listens into a gospel meeting, who comes to a gospel meeting, they must never assume that all have an intimate knowledge of the Scripture, and thus I need to identify who this Lamb is that we are speaking of, lest there be any ambiguity in your mind concerning His identity. When John speaks of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 6. He's not speaking about a fluffy, white, wool-covered animal. He's speaking about the one whom his namesake, John the Baptist, spoke about on the banks of the River Jordan when he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist, of course, on that occasion was referring to the approaching Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the Lamb. And thus, when I use the term the Lamb tonight, then you must remember that I'm referring to none other than the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having identified who this Lamb is that John speaks of in the closing verses of the chapter, we want to firstly consider together the occasion when the Lamb's wrath will be revealed. The occasion when the Lamb's wrath will be revealed. Now, even the most Bible-ignorant person knows that the concluding book of the Word of God, the Bible, the book of the Revelation, has to do with end time events. It's amazing that it seems to be that this book, the book of the Revelation, is the book that many an unsaved person turns to when they first come to read the Bible for themselves. It isn't that they go to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to read about the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather the sinner jumps to this concluding book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. The events that mark the closing days of earth seem to stimulate the interest and excite the imagination of the unconverted more so than the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this book, the book of the Revelation, as its opening verse tells us in Revelation 1 verse 1, informs us about things which must shortly come to pass. It speaks of future events. Now, we're exactly on the end time timeline. The opening of this sixth seal takes place. Well, many preachers have their opinions on. But needless to say, that at some point in earth's history, this sixth seal will be opened. And the events accompanying the opening of that seal will begin to unfold. I believe that I can speak at least generally as to the occasion when the Lamb's wrath will be revealed. Because it's very evident from our reading of Scripture that it is whenever the Lamb is revealed that then His wrath will be revealed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, we read these words in verse 7, "And unto you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." And so we feel and we see here the revelation of Jesus Christ, the manifestation, the coming again of Jesus Christ. And what occurs when He is revealed? His wrath is revealed. Because it goes on quickly to say that He's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so we can be very general, at least, to say that the occasion when the Lamb's wrath will be revealed will be the occasion when the Lamb Himself will be revealed. When Christ comes again, when the Lamb's wrath is revealed, we note from the details in this chapter in Revelation that every part of creation will be affected. Land, sea, and sky. Notice with me, first of all, that the land will be affected. Earth's terrain will convulse and will shake as a result of a tremendous earthquake that rocks this world from center to circumference, from north, south, east, and west. Verse 12 tells us in Revelation chapter 6 that whenever the sixth seal is opened, though there was a great earthquake, this tremor will open chasms and fractures in the earth. It'll throw down houses and temples and skyscrapers. It will sink hills and elevate plains. It will raise the ocean from its bed. It'll rend rocks like granite and granitoite. And it'll bring devastation to almost every structure in the face of this planet. Whenever the law was given on Mount Sinai, the earth shook. Whenever Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary, the earth shook. And when Jesus Christ returns to the earth is going to shake once more. Creation will acknowledge the coming Lamb. Creation will acknowledge that the day of God's wrath has begun. The sky will also be affected. In verse 12 and 13, we are told that the sun will become as black as sackcloth, as if she has entered into a time of great mourning. The moon is going to become as blood red. The stars that are in their course this evening, the billions of them that make up the Milky Way, they're going to fall onto the earth. We're told in the verse 14 that God is going to take up the very sky and heavens, and he's going to part it like a scroll as it's rolled together. Cosmic upheaval will accompany the great day of the Lamb's wrath as sun, moon, stars and sky are relegated from their former glory and removed from their supposedly fixed places. Not only will land and sky, but sea will also be affected, because verse 14 tells us that every mountain and island will be moved out of their places. We live on an island. We live on an island. Where this island will end up on that day, I do not know. Maybe it'll find itself at the North Pole. Maybe it'll find itself somewhere at the equator. Maybe it'll find itself where Australia and New Zealand are found today. But such will be the tectonic movements and the plates shifting in such a tremendous manner that we're told that every mountain and every island is going to be moved out of their place. Such will be the power of God on that particular occasion, that which is deemed to be fixed and that which is deemed to be permanent will be found to be as removable as a matchstick by a human being. Land, sea and sky. No immense change when the Lamb's wrath is revealed. And so whether you're flying on an aeroplane on that day, whether you're walking on some mountaintop or on some earthly plane, whether you find yourself on some boat or vessel or cruise liner on that day when the Lamb's wrath is revealed, when the Lamb's wrath is displayed and manifested, there will be no escaping. Earth, sea, sky will all proclaim that the Lamb's wrath is about to be unleashed upon the world and upon its ungodly citizens. This will be the occasion when the Lamb's wrath will be revealed. What a terrifying account we have then before us here in Revelation chapter 6, to think that the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world the first time to put away sin, is coming the second time to punish sin. What a time that will be. What a day that will be. Day of judgment. Day of horror. Day of terror. Day of fear. Day of shame. day of dread for the unconverted. I asked you on that day, will you be found in Christ? Will you have hidden yourself in the only place of refuge in Jesus Christ? The occasion whereby the wrath of the Lamb will be revealed will be the time when the Lamb himself will be revealed from heaven, when Jesus Christ comes to this world. But moving on, we want to think in the second place about the nature of the Lamb's wrath that will be revealed. The nature of the Lamb's wrath that will be revealed. Now twice in this particular passage, we have the word wrath. The word wrath is used twice in these concluding verses, the verses 16 and 17. And he said, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There are two words in our Greek New Testament that are translated wrath by our English translators. The first Greek word is the word thumos. It is where we get our English word thermos. You've heard of a thermos flask. Well, that's where we get our English word, from the Greek word thumos. The word describes an instant burning anger. It is an anger that explodes. That's the thought of the word thumos. It is an anger that just explodes. The second word that we have is the word orge. Orge. Now this anger is not an anger that explodes, but rather it is an anger that gradually builds. Think about putting a pot of cold water on the hob and starting to see the heat. It moves from cold to tepid, to warm, to eventually boiling. This is the thought that we have in this word orge. There is the building of gradually building of wrath. And it is this second word, orge, that is used in Revelation chapter 6. It speaks to us of the slowly building up of God's wrath to a point that it can no longer be contained. This is the point that we now find ourselves in Revelation chapter 6 in earth's history. God has been long-suffering. God has been patient with his creatures. They have been adding sin to sin. They are filling up for themselves wrath unto the day of wrath. But the point where which we are now at is whenever God's wrath has reached boiling point and now spills out into the universe. This is where we're found, the day of the Lamb's wrath. Let me say a number of things then about the nature of this wrath. What is the nature of the Lamb's wrath on the day of his wrath? First of all, it will be a just wrath. It is a just wrath. Listen to these words from Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. According to God the Holy Spirit by the penman Paul, we are told that God's wrath will be revealed from heaven because of the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is why God will display his wrath on that day. Because of the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. God's holiness, which sin constantly challenges, will demand. Let me underline it. Will demand that God's wrath be put on full display on that particular day. It'll demand it. Your sin will demand it. Your unrighteousness will demand it. Your godlessness will demand it. Your ungodliness will demand it. And so, sinner, you'll not be able to claim on that day that God is in some way unjust when you experience His wrath against your sin, because your sin, your wickedness, your rebellion, your Christ rejection will demand that God visits you in wrath. It is a just wrath. It is just. The Lamb's wrath will be, secondly, an unavoidable wrath. An unavoidable wrath. For a while on earth you will avoid. For a while the sinner will evade, and they will dodge God's wrath. But there is coming a day when His wrath will be unavoidable. Unavoidable. If you die in your sin, if you leave this world as an unrepentant sinner, you will experience the full fury of God's undiluted wrath. Fleeing to Christ will lead you to the avoidance of God's wrath, for such was exhausted on the person of God's Son on the cross of Calvary. But fleeing from Christ, that which you're presently doing, well, that will bring you face to face with God's wrath. Choosing to die in your sin will see to it that you have a personal working knowledge of what it is to be an object of God's wrath. Let me repeat that. Choosing to die in your sin will see to it that you have a personal working knowledge of what it is to be the object of God's wrath. All I can do then tonight is to implore you to flee from the wrath to come. For it's coming. It's unavoidable. If you die with no saving interest in Jesus Christ. The third thing about the nature of this wrath, it is a powerful wrath. Moses asked the question of Sam in Psalm 90 in the verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? The word anger is wrath. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. At times we're worried about the wrath of man. But what is man's wrath compared to God's? The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Thomas Boston said, the power of God's wrath can never be known to the utmost, for it is infinite. And properly speaking, it has no utmost limit. It has no utmost limit. It is the power of God's wrath that causes John to go on to say in this chapter at the end of the verse 17, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? No one. No one stand against that wrath. None shall be able to stand when the power of divine wrath is released. Not even the most obstinate, not even the most stubborn, not even the most God-denying sinner. None able to stand. Such will be the power of His wrath. Unsaved friend, listen to these words in the book of Job. Because there is wrath, Beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee, because there is wrath. Not that there may be, not that there might be, not that there's the possibility that there is, but because there is wrath. Wrath. Powerful wrath. Divine wrath. Unavoidable wrath. The wrath of God. And therefore, sinner, I ask you, how will you be able to endure that wrath? You'll not be able to. The fourth place, the Lamb's wrath will be eternal wrath. You know, if only you had, and only if you were to endure the wrath for 10 years, 100. If you were to endure the wrath for a century, for 1,000 years, for 10,000 years, at least you would be able to see an end to the wrath. But this wrath is eternal wrath. There will be no end. No end to God's wrath upon the sinner who dies in their sin. Eternal, everlasting, unending punishment awaits the person who has no saving interest in Jesus Christ. Wrath forever. Forever. And the smoke of their torment riseth up. And they have no rest day or night. Eternally, everlastingly, now the objects of wrath. One preacher said, God's wrath, listen to this, God's wrath, and it has come on the sinner for millions of ages, will still be the wrath to come. It'll still be the wrath to come. Is this to be your end, sinner? To suffer eternal wrath for sin? Oh, the dreadfulness of it. Oh, the hopelessness of it. Oh, the unendurableness of it. Oh, the endlessness of it. Oh, the horror of it. Sinner, escape for your life. Escape for your life. Make a beeline for the cross. And be delivered from wrath that is yet to come. There's a third matter to consider as we think about the revelation of the Lamb's wrath, namely the people against whom the Lamb's wrath will be revealed. Look there at the list of people in the verse 15 of the chapter. These individuals that will be brought face to face with the Lamb on the great day of his wrath, it tells us, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. In this list, we see the elite of the world. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men. Do you know what we would call these people? These are the A-listers of society. The celebrities. These are the rich and the famous. These are the people that everybody knows, sees on their television screens. These are individuals that people admire and look up to and aspire to. The rich and the famous, the kings, the great, the rich, the chief captains, the mighty men. These are people who claim to belong to the upper echelons of society. John shows us then that everyone in the world is going to see the Lamb coming in wrath. And he starts with the elite. They're going to see it. They'll not avoid it. It's going to come. It's coming. It's going to be visible. It's going to leave a tremendous impact upon those who thought that they're riches, who thought that they're standing in society, who thought that their possessions, who thought that their palaces would see them through everything, even a doomsday scenario like this. They thought that their money could buy them salvation. But they're going to find that there's no hiding place. There is no place of safety that money or wealth or position could ever buy them. None. And then alongside the rich and the famous, John speaks of every bondman and every free man. Common people, just like you and me, in ancient times were divided into only one of two categories. People who were either bondmen, slaves, or those who were free. Just because these people were unknown to the masses and who never really appeared on the radar of society's thinking and admiration, it'll matter not. Whether they occupied a high station in life or whether they occupied a low station in life, the wrath of the Lamb will be revealed against all who know not God and who have obeyed not His gospel. And so whether you're in the elite or whether you're just a common man or woman, if you know not Christ, you are going to know the Lamb's wrath. You're going to see it. You're going to feel it. You're going to experience it. Is that not a terrifying thought? The thought that there is a day of wrath coming, and regardless of your station in life, the finances you possess, the name, the reputation you have in this society, this community, the thought that this wrath is coming against you. Don't you be deluded, sinner. If God's wrath is coming against the kings of the earth, it's going to come against you. The openly wicked, the gospel ignorant, the formal professor, the false preacher, the hypocrite, and all who love not God will find that they are the objects of the Lamb's wrath when it is revealed from heaven. May not one person in this meeting, may not one person be found among those who will meet the coming wrath of the coming Lamb. Consider in the fourth instance the response of the Lamb's wrath when it is revealed. You know, those who we would deem to be courageous individuals, intelligent, educated. Do you know what they'll find themselves doing on that day? They'll find themselves talking to rocks and mountains. Look there at the verse 15 and 16. We're told that the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They'll go into hiding. That's the response. They'll go into hiding, seeking a place of refuge in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Fall on me. Hide me. Shield me. Cover me from the face of him who sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, hide me. Hide me. There are two things to note about the response. Firstly, they seek refuge from the wrath of the Lamb, but they seek it too late. They seek refuge from the wrath of the Lamb, but they seek it too late. There was a time that he could have been their Savior, but now he is their judge. A time when the door of gospel opportunity and mercy was open to them, when they could have entered in and enjoyed the blessings and the benefits of God's salvation. But alas, alas, they failed to avail themselves of God's so great salvation. And now we find them on this day, when the Lamb appears, we find them, yes, they're seeking a refuge, but they sought it too late. They sought it too late. Will you seek refuge too late? I say, sinner, do not continue to procrastinate. Do not continue to put off coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Seek refuge tonight from coming wrath. Behold, now is accepted time, the scripture says. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. They sought a place of refuge, but they sought it too late. The second thing to note about their response is they seek refuge from the wrath of the Lamb, but they seek it in the wrong place. They seek for it, this refuge, in the wrong place. We find that they hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. But these are no hiding places from an omnipresent God. Rocks and mountains, we would think them to be places of secrecy and great concealment, but they will not be able to hide. They will not be able to hide the sinner from the eyes of the Lord that run through this world, that are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Rocks and mountains, the bulwarks of defense and places of security, cannot stand before the wrath of the Almighty. On the day of the Lamb's wrath, the sinner will find that there is no hiding place. No hiding place. It is therefore imperative, sinner, that you seek refuge in the correct place. And that brings me to seamlessly come to my concluding point, and it is brief. Namely, the way by which the sinner can be spared when the Lamb's wrath is revealed. Sinner, there is safety to be found in the day of wrath. And that safety is found in a rock. Not in the rocks, but in a rock. The Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, top lady said, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Hiding from wrath, hiding from the judgment, because all those who are in Christ, those who have believed his gospel and received Christ as Savior, will find in him a refuge from the wrath that is to come. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the gospel. Because you see, sinner, on the cross of Calvary, the Son of God, he bears the wrath of God for sin. He endures the suffering. He endures the wrath of the Father for sin in his own sacred body. So that all that trust in him, all that receive him, all that believe on him, all that trust in him, all that are saved by him, are delivered from wrath to come. Why? Because his sacrifice turns away wrath. It's called expiation. The turning away of wrath by a divine and suitable sacrifice. Wrath is turned away because wrath exhausted itself on the person of Jesus Christ, and Christ came forth the conqueror. At the cross, God unleashed the full extent of his wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thereby, he having endured wrath for me, I am delivered from wrath through him. It is then for you, the sinner, to trust in Christ. And instead of cowering on that day, you will have confidence on that day because Christ bore the wrath that was your due. My friend, the day of wrath is not yet come. Today, we find ourselves in a day of mercy. And so I would implore you to believe on Christ, to turn from sin, receive the offer of God's salvation, hide in Christ, seek refuge in the wounds of Calvary and your Redeemer, resolve to make these your chief objectives in life so that whenever the Lamb and his wrath appears, you will be spared from being the object of that wrath. You see, the real horror of being outside Christ is that there is no shelter from the wrath of God. None. And so, fly to Christ. Through him, be delivered from wrath to come. I pray that what we have considered this evening, the revelation of the wrath of the Lamb, I trust that it will awake you from your spiritual sleep, that it will arouse you from your careless state into which you have drifted in, spiritually speaking, and it will bring you to a saving relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Only the one who is united to Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Be saved. And be delivered from wrath to come. May God be pleased to bring you unto himself, even this evening, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, has God spoken to your heart, your soul, this evening? You're not a Christian. Yes, the bravado. You can put it on in front of a congregation, put on a fair show, but deep in that soul of yours there is fear, there is terror, there is great concern. Well, God has been speaking then to your heart. Respond to his voice. Come to Christ. Repent. Believe the gospel. If you need help, then please make contact with us. I'm here at the church. For those who are here, speak to us, because there is wrath. Oh, come to Christ and be saved and be delivered from this terrible and this fearful day for Christ's sake. Loving Father, we commit, O God, this meeting to your care and to thy keeping. praying that the fear of the Lord will be the beginning of wisdom. Oh, answer prayer. Deliver men and women from this day of wrath, boys and girls. May they find a place of refuge in the wounds of Calvary, the cross work of the Redeemer, in the Christ of God. Answer prayer. Glorify thy Son. We offer these petitions in and through the Saviour's holy and all-worthy name. Amen and amen. Thank you.